Okay, hello everyone. God bless you. Thanks for coming to this class. I'm excited to kind of spend some time with you talking about something that's very near and dear to my heart personally. When I gave my heart to the Lord, I was fresh off of almost becoming a professional baseball player. And one of the first questions that I asked the Lord was, Lord, how do you win as a Christian? And when I asked the Lord, how do you win as a Christian, He started to lead me to verses that focused on private health versus public success. When you want to be a professional athlete, everything is about your public success. And what you do in private means nothing. And so it was such a huge contrast for me. And when I think about being a parent, now a grandparent, loving all of the people, it's the best, right? Now loving all of the people on our staff, being a good pastor. To me, our success is marked by how healthy our people are, not how large our congregation is. And I've always felt that way, and it's one of the things that kept us when we first planted. It's, are the people growing? Are they doing well? And all of that stems from who we are, because we know that like priests, like people, the Bible says, the greatest favor that you can do for your congregation or for whomever you're leading is to just be real healthy in God. Amen. It's the greatest thing that you could ever do for them. And so let me just open right now with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. I thank you for all of my brothers and sisters. Lord, I thank you that they've not only answered the call, but Lord, that they're living out the great call of God upon their lives. And Father, we pray together, we pray for each other, Lord, that you by the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would keep us close to you and strong in you, full of your word, full of your spirit, and healthy, oh God, in private, so that we could do amazing things for you in public. Lord, bless this time. Lord, speak to our hearts. We're so grateful for any time that we could get together and open up your word. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Yeah, so your state of health is such a big deal, and it has such a big impact on your congregation. Just recently, we just refinanced our mortgage and our church mortgage, and our church mortgage is way too big. And here's how you know that you have a big church mortgage. When you go to refinance a large mortgage, so pray for us, right? When you go to refinance a large mortgage, it's an interesting thing. The bank that's doing the refi will require for the lead person to take out an insurance policy. So they take out an insurance policy on your life, and if something happens to you, they get the money. And I'm like, I don't know, there's something that feels kind of janky about this. So what they do is they send someone to your home, and they take blood and all of that. They examine you. And the most interesting thing is that they spend all of this time asking you about not just your health, but your parents. You know, is there cancer in your family? Who has diabetes? And it's like this long thing. They're doing this intense research because they're trying to get a genetic profile. Because sooner or later, everyone ends up like their mom or dad, grandpa or grandma. And so whatever is inside of you, good or bad, that's what we pass on. And that's why being healthy as a leader is so vitally important. It's not just important to you. Paul said to Timothy, watch your life first and your doctrine second. Your doctrine is what you preach. Persevere in them, because if you do so, you'll save yourself and your hearers. Now, if anybody here has taken the DNA of a leader, you know that this is DNA talk. This class is not a DNA class. It's way more narrow and more basic to our personal lives as leaders. And I just want to launch real quickly with the key text for this particular talk. Luke chapter 3, 2 verses 21 and 23. By the way, it's interesting. All four Gospels cover this. Each one of them says something a little bit different. This one is, I think, at one level the most complete. It says, after all the people who had been baptized, Jesus also was baptized. While he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit came down on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my own dear son. I am pleased with you." Then it says, when Jesus began his work, he was about 30 years old. Now, what's powerful about this, and I read this many, many years ago, and Andrew Murray has some great thoughts upon this passage. But what's powerful about this is that Jesus begins his ministry after this moment. And what you see is that Jesus had a great relationship with the Father before he did anything for him. And the essence of being healthy is that you have a great relationship with the Father. It's not what you do for him, it's what you have with him. Your private life with God is everything. Your personal relationship with God is everything. Did anyone notice that did anyone sing last night, all my ministry, you have been faithful? Anybody sing that? No. We were singing all my life. Because how many know? He's all of our lives. How many would say amen? Amen. And so he was a son first, a minister second. And we can never get that out of order. You're a son first, you're a daughter first, and then you are a minister second. And I believe that last night, Brother Blanchard not only set the example, but he set the bar. In fact, I would say that all we need to do is rewatch last night, and then the whole class is done, and we can all go take a nap. Let me tell you four key things that I got from last night that really speak to the power of being healthy. And you can be healthy for a long, long time in God. Here's what I took away from our time with Brother Blanchard. Number one, he still walks in authentic joy. I'm gonna just take this guy off. Wow. Number one, he still walks in authentic joy. You saw did everybody see the joy of the Lord coming out of Brother Blanchard? And you know what? When someone walks in authentic joy, it typically means that in private they worship God. They worship the Lord and they celebrate the Lord, and then what happens in private comes out naturally in public. And isn't it an interesting thing that we're always telling our people to sing to God and to worship God? How many know we should be doing that on our own in our homes? You cannot be healthy if you're not worshiping God alone. We'll talk a little bit more about that, but he still walks in authentic joy. Number two, he still kisses his wife. Did you catch that smooch last night? He's still in love with his wife after all of these years. He still has a great relationship. You can have a great ministry, but still have a great marriage. You can have a great ministry and still have a blessed and happy home. And we don't have to sacrifice one for the other. Both are possible If there's anything that God wants to bless, it's our home. How many would say amen?
Amen.
And so it's so beautiful to watch that. Number three, he still has a fresh ear for God. He still has a fresh ear for God. How many know that was not a microwave message? He didn't pull that out of the archives. Fresh creativity. He's hearing from God in a very fresh way. I've read that passage so many times. I was blown away by the things he got out of that passage. I thought it was just phenomenal. And so he still has a fresh ear for God. And here's the last thing. He still walks in humility. Notice that this amazing man of God, at a certain point, the Lord says, I want you to change gears and do something different. And he, after all of these years, he still has the humility and the tenderness to be led by the Lord. Papa G, did you leave? Yeah, he left. Well, he'll pop back in here. So it's interesting. In a moment, he'll pop back in. And he said a couple of things to me, and I said, you got to walk into my class real quick and just say that. Because no matter how we say this, all of these things are consistent to all of our lives. Okay? Private joy, blessed family, blessed relationships, a fresh ear for God, and then walking in deep humility are the keys to being healthy. And I saw Brother Blanchard today, and I said to him, you are one of my heroes, and I just pray that I could end the race like you have. It's been so amazing to watch. You're so special. You're so wonderful. And your walk with God is so... how many can feel Brother Blanchard's walk with God? Can I see your hands? Isn't it awesome and powerful? Now, when we go to talk about personal health in ministry, it breaks down into three categories, but there are four key areas of our lives. There's our spiritual, our social, emotional, our mental, and our physical. And I want to say this. I believe that if you're going to be healthy, okay, you have to develop healthy weekly rhythms. Okay? You're going to take something away from this talk. Healthy weekly rhythms in all four areas of your life. We have to take care of ourselves, but it's on a weekly basis, I personally believe. And a healthy pastor's life, a healthy minister's life, is those four things end up flowing into these three key areas, which are our prayer lives, our home lives, and our ministry lives. So if you want to be healthy, you've got to take those four aspects of who you are and get healthy rhythms and then channel it into our prayer lives, our home lives, and our ministry lives. So let's talk for real quickly for a couple of minutes about your prayer life. So I believe that my life is the best. My life is the best when I'm really feeling close to God in my prayer time. And there has to be a constant pursuit and seeking of God at a certain... Anybody, let me see, how many people here are morning people? Could I see your hands? How many people are more evening people? Could I see your hands? Wow, we're like 50-50. So my father-in-law, Pastor Simla, he reads the Bible at all kinds times of the night. I get up super early. I like the mornings myself. But every day, we need to have a time where we're really having like these wonderful intakes of the Word of God. I believe that there should be a healthy dose of the Bible for a minister every single day.
Come on.
A healthy dose of the Bible. Okay? And I want to even go a little bit further, a healthy dose of the New Testament every single day.
Come on. Yeah.
I read the New Testament 3 or 4 times a year. I read the Old Testament about one time a year. I try to get through it once a year. But the New Testament is the New Covenant. And when you take in the New Testament and you're reading it over and over, it colors your mind. It gives you a fresh faith in the grace of God and the power of God and the coming of the Spirit of God. And lots of Bible. How many know that you're your most comfortable, courageous, content when you left the time of prayer and you got a word from the Lord? Anybody like, you're like just flying high when you get a word from the Lord? Well, the Bible says the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. And he reveals his covenant to them. He makes his covenant known. And what that means is that God has a secret to share with us. And I believe that God has a secret for us every day. Every day. And if you are too busy to read your Bible, you are too busy. And if you're doing a lot of other things and you're not spending the bulk and the best of your energies in the Word of God, in time with God, you cannot be the minister that you've been called to be, and you won't be healthy. I mean, this is the essence of being a person who's spiritually healthy. My devotional life, I have a key presumption when it comes to my devotional life, and it's this. God has prepared a table for me. He says, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. And so we can presume the next time we go to God, we can presume that there's a table prepared for us. How many are looking forward to the table either tonight with God or in the morning with God? Brothers and sisters, fill yourself with the Word of God. I know that it's obvious, but it can't be more true. And it can't be more important. And when you're really filling yourself with the Word of God, it starts to transform your life, and it gives you incredible capacity to minister. I always tell our staff members, look, and I've been on both sides of this, right? This is 3/4 full, okay? So ministry should be from here to here, not from here to the bottom. You need to be able to give your heart away, have grace pour through your life. But when you finish pouring out grace, there has to be some grace left over for you. The minister who goes from here to empty, here to empty, here to empty all the time will ultimately be burned out. Anybody ever been there? You hit zero so often that after a while you plug in and it's like, you ever say, man, what's wrong with this phone? It's taking like 4 days to fill up. You know, we've got to make sure that we're filling our tank every day and knowing that the Lord has prepared a table for us. The Word should create this upbeat, faith-filled outlook on life. And so a healthy person is up because they've been ministered to, not by our circumstances. They've been ministered to by the Word of God. Can I tell you something? It's been a rough year. I've had a rough week. Anybody had a rough week? I've had a rough week. You know, rough weeks come and go. But how many know God is good all the time? And all the time God is good. And if you spend enough time with him, you get convinced of it. And you feel like it. And you're walking in it. So first of all, I want to encourage you. It is all of the men of God that I studied throughout history, all of the women of God, all of the people that I have met that have been a great inspiration to my life that I was like, whoa, this is the real deal. All of them had a lot of Bible every day. So I tell our people, read your Bible every day. Every day, read your Bible. The other thing, I talked a little bit about this in terms of your time with God. I want to encourage you to worship the Lord when you're with him. I want to encourage you to sing to the Lord. We're doing a series on Samuel. And the Bible says that Samuel ministered to the Lord. You want to have a ministry for God?
then spend the time ministering to God. Okay? And I'm telling you right now, there's something, you know, everybody, my wife is super musical, and all of my kids are pretty musical. I just didn't get that, you know what I mean? But I love to sing to God. And when I sing off key to the Lord, because I can tell that it's off key, I just feel a lot like when my grandchildren now, when they bring me a work of art that they did, and it's like scribble, and I go, this is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. I just feel like God, when you reach out to Him and you sing to Him, all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. You could be in the park, you could be in your car, wherever you find yourself. I just feel like it makes the heart of God glad. And here's the thing, okay? When you worship God, it's so good for you, and here's why. It's because you get to experience the pleasure of God. And the pleasure of God, how do we put that? Jake, do we have the... Listen, we worship because the pleasure of God delivers us from the need for the praise of men. Something powerful is transacted between you and the Lord when you worship Him, and then all of a sudden, you feel God's opinion of you, all of a sudden, other people's opinion, not such a big deal.
Right.
You know, it's not that big of a deal, and you're healthy, and you're not rattled, because there's an assurance that you have received from your time with God. So I just want to encourage you, worship the Lord. You know, bless His heart. Walk around in your little room or wherever you are and bless His heart. Go to the park. Go for walks. I learned how to be a Christian from a New York City police officer. And it was crazy because we would go, and we were both single, we'd go for a walk in the park, and I would say, come on, let's go for a walk. And since he was a cop, he was packing. So we're in Brooklyn, bad neighborhood, but he had a gun and it was all good. So we're walking, and he taught me this. We were walking, and his name was Jimmy, and he would just start to talk to God and to praise God and lift his voice to God. And you know what? I remember this. We would be walking, and he would be praising God, and I'd be looking around like, what in the world? I mean, a baby Christian looking around. But sooner or later, as Jimmy would seek the Lord like that, we would walk into like a wall of the presence of God. That shaped my life. And let me tell you something. If you worship God, you'll bring the anointing to your congregation.
Come on.
If you spend time with God and you worship Him, He inhabits the grumblings of His people. Doesn't He? No. He inhabits the praises of His people. And the more you praise Him, the more the pleasure of heaven calms you and settles you and blesses you. There's something so powerful of a life that's filled with devotion to the Lord. And I can't say enough how special. I'm a coffee guy. I go through this real fast, but I'm a coffee guy. I get up every day. In fact, I'm such a coffee guy, I travel with a coffee maker. I drink espresso. And I get up at 4 in the morning, and no place is open at 4, but I have that espresso. I've taken it all over the world with me. I take these little espresso capsules, I take a roll, I get my roll, and I have my coffee. You know, it's called the Holy Brew for a reason. And I drink my coffee, and I love to lift my hands to the Lord. And there's something about, you meet God, He takes care of the rest of the day. You know what I mean? Meet God first. And He'll take care of the rest of the day. And people, the Bible says, they took note that those unschooled fishermen had been with Jesus. And so you spend time with Jesus, it's going to be great. And I want to just very practically, if you're in ministry, I want to encourage you,
Give the Lord a couple of hours every day. Just you and God time. Okay? Now, if you're a mom and you have kids, you have a special exemption. Okay? If you're a mom, you have kids, you have angels speaking to you in the midst of the madness. You know what I mean? Just reach up and God's going to bless you and meet you there, because we know how crazy that is. But everybody else, give the Lord a couple of hours every day. And there will be a greater level of sensitivity to His Spirit. The key to having services that are not stale is that you could discern what God wants to do in the service. How do you discern what He wants to do if you don't spend enough time with Him to really tune into His voice? Like I'm going to be sharing on this Sunday. He said to the little boys three times, Samuel, he got up. Samuel, he got up. On the fourth time, he started to figure it out. It takes a while to figure out the voice of God. Give Him a couple of hours a day, and don't say to yourself for a second, I don't have time for that. Face time with God not only leaves you satisfied, but it strengthens you and it gives you everything that you need to be a great servant to others. So that's your prayer life. We can talk a little bit more about that at the end. But then secondly, there's your home life. Now the key to a strong ministry is a blessed home. I don't know if you guys say amen at your church, but I'm going to encourage you. That's a good line for you to say amen to. Okay? Let me say that one more time. The key to a strong ministry is a blessed home. Could everybody say amen? Absolutely. And there. So we talked about your prayer life is your spiritual life. Your home life is your spiritual life, which now flows into your social, emotional life. Okay? And when it comes to your social, emotional life, it is a big deal how you are relating to people, and especially the people closest to you. When you look at how you're relating to the people closest to you, it will tell you a great deal about where you are in God. Now, there should be an overflow. When you're happy, no, I find that when I'm happy in Jesus, then I'm just happy. And so it's like that story. Everybody know the late Dave Wilkerson? Okay, you may have heard me tell this story. I heard this story, I thought it was fantastic. So once Dave Wilkerson was talking to his wife in the morning, and he was kind of cranky that day, and he was kind of grouchy, and at a certain point, his wife turns to him and says, hey, did you spend time with the Lord yet? Did you read your Bible yet? And he goes, you know, as a matter of fact, I haven't. She says, will you please get in there? You know? How many of you come out in a better mood? But I will say this, we need to pay attention to our social, emotional state and face how we're doing. Your spouse should be your favorite person in the whole world. Your spouse should be your absolute favorite person in the whole world. You know why I'm not independently wealthy? Is because if I was, I would be on vacation all year with my wife. We'd just be traveling. We wouldn't go to Korea, we're talking to that sister. Right? We'd just be on vacation all the time. Your spouse and you, and look, the Bible says that marriage is not easy, and it's not you're taking two lives and putting it together, but you can really be close, and when you're close, it blesses your whole life. Okay, and a lot of times when you can't connect with the people closest to you, it's a reflection of a need and a deficiency that you have that you need to face. You need to face those things. You need to take the time to look in your heart and get some help. Man, when I saw Brother Blanchard turn around and give her a quick kiss, I was like, that's the bomb right there. You know, so if you are married, work on your marriage. If you have a family, just know that it is God's will for you to have a healthy home. And if people try to pressure you against having a healthy home. Choose your home and don't worry about the people. Sometimes people in your church, they will put all kinds of pressure on you that they don't even do themselves. And do what you need to do for your family's sake, and God will bless you more. How many would say amen?
Amen.
But just know that your social emotional state is very, very important. Here's one of the things that I would say is, it's important to have renewing activities versus escapism. There's a big difference between renewing activities and escapism. Renewing activities develop you and revive you. Escapism dulls you and denigrates you. It brings you down. And some people, in their downtime, there's a lot of escapism in their lives. And as godly people, we are called to be vibrant and healthy and holy and not carnal. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You know, something is carnal, if something is unholy, don't take it in because it makes you unhealthy. Whatever is unholy is unhealthy. And we're pastors here, but can I say this? You know, I think that every time I'm in a minister's conference, there's always one person who thinks it's cool to be carnal. And they say things that are just off, you know? They crack jokes that they're trying to be cool. We serve a holy God. We can be holy, happy, joyful, and we don't have to be worldly, carnal, and edgy. But there's always one. You know, I heard someone say something yesterday. I was like, there it is. There's at least one. And it's not cool to be carnal. Okay? It's not cool to be carnal. And when you're carnal, it's unhealthy. You know, and so we need to make sure that the things that we do build us up and revive us and make us better and help us to be transformed. I have a quote. I mean, it's kind of long, so I'm not going to read it to you, but Eugene Peterson actually talks about going to a pastor's conference, and when he left, he said, you know what? It was good, but it wasn't good. And I was thinking, why didn't I really enjoy that? And here's what he says. And you know what I concluded? He said, it was the irreverence. It was the irreverence. Like there was something about, we sang and it was good, but then after we were in our downtime, that irreverence, he said, it just wrecked me. Let's do ourselves a favor. Let's do the Lord a favor. Babaji, come on in here and sit right here for a second. Let's do ourselves a favor. Let's do the Lord a favor. And you know what? Let's do all of the people that we're called to serve. Let's take the time to be holy. How many would say amen if you're
amen? Amen.
Okay, let's not fill ourselves with ungodliness. You know, because if you fill yourself with ungodliness, it is impossible
Amen.
To be healthy.
Amen.
It's impossible. In a godly life, like, it's so funny because sometimes I'll talk to people and you ever meet kind of like a new Christian and they're fresh out of the world and they'll say, and you're like, yo, you got to stop drinking, man. Or you got to stop doing that. You got to, you know, they're like, oh, but it's so hard. I'm like, hard? I said, hard? You mean being a slave to that bottle? Leaving slavery is hard for you? You want to be a slave?
Come on.
You know? I'll tell you what. I've lived on both sides of this game. You know, the guy said, I've been rich and I've been poor. Rich is better. Right? Well, I've been in the world. I've served the devil and I've served God. Serving God is just better.
Amen.
Just better. It's easier. It's lighter. It's more wonderful.
Amen.
And if you think that you got to be cool in a worldly kind of way
to win people in your church, you are just not getting what the Bible teaches.
That's right.
I'm starting to preach, I gotta settle down. My wife is gonna lift the hand and go, Jerry, she's not there. But listen, imagine how wrong this theology is. Okay, imagine how wrong it is. There's a theology out there that says, if you act worldly to relate and connect with worldly people, then you can lead them to be godly.
Jesus, help us.
How many of you know worldly plus worldly doesn't make godly?
Come on.
So, but a healthy life, you know, a healthy life, someone who loves God, we can laugh.
Amen.
You know, we can have a great sense of humor. We can enjoy every aspect of life in God is better. And so I just want to encourage you. I say this especially for all the young people who are coming into ministry. And I have no problem of, look, we communicate. We've got the slides. We communicate as best as we can, as relevant as we can, in terms of what is the best way to communicate with this people. You know, there was a day we were wearing suits, and I looked out. This happened about 6 years ago. We were wearing suits, and I looked out, and I was like, oh, snap, nobody's wearing suits here. And I saw two young professional business guys right there, and I said, you know what? Those guys need to look up here and say, these people are a godly version of me. So we change the way we dress. What's the big deal? You know, a tie doesn't make you holy. You know? Well, let me tell you something. Holy makes you holy.
Amen.
And so I want to encourage you. An overflow of your private time and your home should be the same thing that marks your ministry.
Amen.
And the way you renew yourself is huge. So here's the last thing, is that when you renew yourself socially and emotionally correctly, when that's going on, then you relate to people in the right kind of way. Here's a couple things that you could ask yourself. Am I really healthy? When we are healthy, we relate to people with openness versus guardedness. Okay? Ministers are open.
Amen.
Ministers are loving.
Yes.
Amen. Ministers, they have the joy of the Lord. They've got something to give. We're not guarded. The world is guarded. People are guarded, not us, because we want to share. We want to give. Yeah. Right? When we relate to people, when we're healthy, we relate to people with love versus fear.
Amen.
Right? One of the biggest killers to me of COVID was that we couldn't be with people and we couldn't hug people.
Yeah.
Jake, how much more time do I have? Okay. We couldn't be with people and we couldn't hug people. At our church, before someone gets to their seat, I want them to get hugged like 10 times.
Come on.
You know why? Because God is love.
Amen.
And every time I see my grandkids, I don't know about you, but I want to hug them and kiss them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and those are God's kids. No matter how they look, no matter what they've done, no matter where they've been, no matter how they smell, whatever, when they walk through the doors, I mean, we should be able to wrap our arms around them and kiss them.
Amen.
Amen.
Come on now.
So lastly, when we're healthy, we relate to people with truth versus flattery. Please, brothers and sisters, avoid flattery.
Amen.
Flattery is not from God. Flattery turns you into a very insincere person.
Yep.
But truth means that you connect. Papa G, how you doing? We connect. We don't have to butter each other up, but we can love each other.
Amen.
And edify one another. And if you have a bent towards flattery, there might be a certain kind of fear in you.
Sure.
That you need to take a look at. So that's kind of your social, emotional life. And I will say this, when you think about social, emotional, your physical does have a big impact. And do yourself a favor, work out 25 minutes, three times a week, eat wise. It's like, look, my son is 25 years old. And he invited me to go to the gym with him and start working out with him. And you know what I said? I said no. Because I do grandpa workouts. Work out for 20, 25 minutes, little dumbbell, a few little things. That's it. That's all I got. I just don't want to be in pain all the time. So many aches and pains. You work out enough, feel good, that's it, you know? But do it. Do it so that you feel okay. I've had so many surgeries. I have like every kind of injury. And you know what? Take care of your body.
Amen.
You can't be healthy if you're not taking care of your body. And then here's the last thing. The third is your ministry life. Papa Jim, I'm going to have you come up in a moment. The third is your ministry life. And here's what I would say about the ministry. Number one, Brother Blanchard said it yesterday. You have to do what you're called to do.
That's it.
And you have to own it. There's no way you're going to be healthy long term if you're not in the will of God.
Amen. Amen.
And if you're trying to do something that you're not called to do, you will become unhealthy.
Yep.
You got to do what you're called to do. You know, we were driving here, three and a half hour trip. And you see these semi trucks, 18 wheelers, they carry big loads. Then you might see like a Porsche, you know, both cars, different purposes. Okay? You never see one of those fancy Porsches trying to pull a big load. You know, it's a different purpose. Find your purpose and do that. Because when you do what you're called to do, that's when you can be your best version of the best version of yourself. Amen?
Amen.
The other thing, almost closing here, is you want to commit to learning, changing, and growing. Proverbs 15:14 says this: intelligent people want to learn, but stupid people are satisfied with ignorance. Jim Collins said, change costs energy, but it adds more energy than it uses.
Oh, yeah.
Take the time to strengthen your mind and your heart, and you'll be energized by that. And so in your ministry life, keep growing, keep studying, keep learning, keep talking to people, and you'll be invigorated. And here's the last thing, and then maybe we'll take a couple of questions, but I want Papa G to say something that he said to me right before we walked in. Here's the last thing I want to encourage you. Don't let the ministry bully you.
Now.
Okay? Don't let the ministry bully you. You have to live out the call of God with great courage, because if you don't, the ministry can beat you up. Look at what Psalm 105 says. This is powerful. When they were but few in number, few indeed, and strangers in it, they wandered from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another. Look at what the Bible says. He, speaking of God, He allowed no one to oppress them. For their sake, he rebuked kings. Do not touch my anointed ones. Do my prophets no harm. And what that means is that we're the anointed ones of God, and we're called to serve people, but not to be beat up by people.
That's right. That's right.
And so, didn't Pastor Jeff say, sometimes certain people leave your church, and that's a good thing? Well, sometimes you have to ask people to leave. Every time we talk about this topic, I always say to ministers, look, if you allow the ministry to bully you, it's going to affect your children negatively.
Yeah, it sure will.
Come on. Because your kids get offended by what the people do to you. And sometimes you see pastors' kids and they resent the ministry and they resent the church. And you know why? It's because dad let the church bully them. Sometimes you have to stand up and say, not in this house.
Right.
Not on this board. What Bible verse do you have to back that action? You don't have a Bible verse, so don't do it here.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, if you can be courageous when the Lord, not mean, but courageous when the Lord calls you to be courageous, your home life will be better and your heart will be overall better.
Yeah, man.
Private health is all about really your private life. And while I was coming in here, I bumped into Papaji, and he says something to me. Could you just repeat that about yep. about how you gave?
Is this being recorded?
Yeah. Yeah, it is being recorded.
Okay. So, thanks for being here. I want to honor Pastor Hal here. Had a stroke, fought back, still fighting back. I admire you, buddy. I admire you.
Yes.
He's an example of a strong private life. I would be a whiner and a complainer, and you're still fighting. So, I want to apologize on behalf of my generation to your generation, because we have given you the idol of leadership and relevancy. And that's not how you build a ministry. That's not how you build a church. Who doesn't want to be relevant? All we have to be is who God created us to be. There's always people that idolize is not the right word, but you look up to, and there's things you can learn from them, emulate from them, even copy from them, as long as you internalize it and it becomes your truth. The relevancy has become an idol in our culture. So you don't have to try to be cool in order to reach people for Jesus. If long hair is your thing and you're comfortable with that, Joshua, do it. But don't grow long hair because you think you're going to be able to reach more people for Jesus. If wearing blue jeans with holes in it is you, that's great. But if that's not you, don't do it to try to be relevant. Try explaining that to an international, by the way. Our international say, Pastor, do they need some help? Are they poor? I'm like, no, those are very expensive blue jeans. No, they're not poor. So give up on the relevance thing. Always learn from somebody else, but just be who God made you to be. Always try to improve and get better and all that jazz. But let me tell you the other thing that my generation has given your generation. We've given you the idol of leadership, and I'm sorry for that. What is the first calling of Jesus? Matthew 4:19. What is it, Jacob? What? Follow me, and I will make you. We get hung up on the fishers of men part. But the first calling of Jesus is follow me. He is the master. He is the king. We are the slaves. We are the subjects. We used to preach a lot about staying in the shadow of the cross, the crucifixion of the flesh. Even in the business world, followership is big talk. But in the church world, leadership is the big talk. If I come up short in my relationship with my wife, Bonnie, or my children, or my children-in-law, or my grandchildren, which will never happen, when you become a grandparent, you become giddy, silly, you get baptized in the true love of God. Right? You're silly, the stuff you put online about your grandkids. You're just silly. I love it. It takes total surrender to be a devoted follower of Jesus. I recommend Andrew Murray's old book, Total Surrender. I have an original copy of it. I got it at a garage sale for 25 cents. That thing's probably worth hundreds of dollars. Absolute surrender. I'll tell you what else it takes to be a good follower of Jesus. Not being ashamed of the Holy Spirit baptism. Getting over a pneumatology phobia. Walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, keeping step with the Spirit. We don't want to be retro-Pentecostals. We don't want to be charismatic crazies. We want to be authentically Pentecostal. Pastored the same church for 28 and a half years. There were two times I had to stand up and apologize to people because I led in the flesh with a program. Programs are not ministry. People are ministry. People get all uptight, you know, when you change and do away with some program, Royal Rangers, Missionette. Listen, Royal Rangers is not the ministry. Boys are the ministry. Missionettes is not the ministry. Girls are the ministry. That's the ministry. Two times I had to get up publicly and apologize because I did a program to try to get the church to grow. And I humbled myself before the elders, before the leadership, and then I apologized to the whole church. Basically, I just did what the Holy Spirit told me to do. And if he wasn't telling me anything to do, I just tried to improve upon what we were already doing. This leadership idol has caused us to become competitive. It's fleshly, it's ungodly. Well, we have a commitment to excellence. I walked into a pastor's church, he had a great big huge sign, I'm not going to tell you where, here in Illinois, and he goes, "Hey Gary, what do you think of our new theme, excellence?" I said, "Well, tell me about it. We want to have the best youth group in town. We want to have the best children's ministries in town." I said, "Why? To make yourself look good? Is that why you want to do that? Our commitment to excellence is because we serve a God of excellence. His word is excellent. His will is excellent. His works are excellent. His intrinsic value is excellent. That's why we have commitment to excellence." Hallelujah.
Amen.
Can I pray? Can I pray? Praise God. Lord, I just thank you. Let's stand together. Are we about done? Is that it? Okay. Hallelujah. Can we just lift our hands? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you got prayer language, let's just pray out loud. What a great district council this is. We're so glad to be together. Lord, forgive us of making leadership, of making relevance, even making the virtue of excellence an idol. We put it all on the altar. We put it on the altar, Lord. We smash these idols, God. We smash them. Let them be ground to powder. Help us to be good followers. Help us to walk in the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. Help us to be baptized in the Spirit. Immersed in the Spirit. Baptized in love. Not to be competitive. Help us to get over our insecurities. To be the people that you called us to be. Help us to completely surrender everything. We do not choose a place of ministry because of comfort and ease. And it's the size of church and size of town that we want. But we choose a place of ministry because you choose for us. You send us. We want apostolic anointing. Yes. We want to be sent ones. Yes. We want to win people to you and disciple people to you. That's what we want, Jesus. We don't want to waste our lives. We don't want to spin our wheels. We don't want comfort, Lord. Give us the mountains. Give us the hills, Lord. Yes. We don't want to sit on a beach in a hammock forever and ever. We want to do your work, Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus, we repent of our pneumatology phobia, of our fear of the Holy Spirit. It's not going to scare people off. Lord, we need clean buildings. We need good coffee. We need good children's program. We need good worship. We need good youth ministry. All of that stuff. But none of that changes the heart of a boy or girl or a teenager or a young person or a mom and dad and a grandma and grandpa. It's only your anointing that comes upon our life. And your anointing doesn't come by studying leadership or relevancy or excellence. Your anointing comes because we love righteousness and we hate iniquity. And you anoint us with the oil of gladness. And so we ask you to do that in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed be your name, Lord. Blessed be your holy name.
Amen. Thank you for this time. Thank you for Papa G.
Sorry, it's late.
Thank you, Lord. God, I just pray that every person here would develop such a sweet and wonderful private life with you. And may they become just so personally healthy in every way, in their spiritual life, in their home life, in their ministry life. May your richest blessings be upon them. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you so much for coming. God bless you.